Good evening. The question for tonight is, are you truly a believer if you do not go to church? And so I want to go to the scriptures to answer that. I have six answers, and the answer is no, and all of them will be reasons for why that is the case. Now, defining what it means to be a believer, James said that there are various levels of faith. There is a kind of faith that acknowledges God. There's a kind of faith that says, I know he's real. Maybe even a kind of faith that would know that Jesus was real, perhaps even acknowledging that he rose from the dead. But true faith, as we were looking at this morning, true belief, a sustaining and vital belief, is one that is proactive. And so the short answer to the question is no. And I want to give some reasons why. And I will say this. The process of sanctification is such that as a person, as more information comes to them, and as a person is opened up more and more to the fullness of God's truth, then whatever God is expecting of them is laid upon them at that moment. And it's almost a lifelong thing. The longer I'm a Christian, the more I'm changed. The more that I know, the more that I know that there is darkness in my heart, things that I need to remove. And it's a constant thing of becoming aware of more information and then submitting myself to that. This is the same with everyone. I can conceive of a person giving their life to Jesus and being under the deception that has often been given that a person can be a Christian and not be a churchgoer. Maybe they give their life to Jesus and then for a short period of time think that that is sustainable. Is it possible to be justified in a moment without knowing everything that they need to know? Yes, but not for very long. And God is going to reveal to them and show to them very quickly, you cannot do this on your own. In fact, I have many expectations for you, and it's not as simple as just being immersed and now you're done. But sanctification is a process, and there are sometimes those with an infantile faith. Those who really do not know any better. I've had conversations in the past with people who wish to be Christians, and maybe there's a sincerity there, a type of faith like a mustard seed beginning very small. The only thing is, for it to truly be the faith of a mustard seed, it must not remain there, but it must continue to grow. So the short answer is, and you know, in the long run, no, you cannot be a true believer and be absent or be separate from God's church. These are the reasons why. Number one, because Jesus died for his church and gave himself for her to sanctify her and to wash her. Ephesians chapter 5 reads it this way. Just look at what Jesus thinks of his church, which is the gathering of his people. It is the body of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. Husbands, love your wives. This is Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So, Jesus gave himself up for the church so that he could present her to himself in holiness and in splendor. Now imagine the cognitive dissonance or the misunderstanding to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I love you so much. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Now, on the other hand, I do not love your bride. I don't like her. And in fact, I really think very little of her. I want nothing to do with her. Imagine that. Imagine if there was anybody that wanted to be my friend and they said, the only thing is, I don't like your wife, which that's an impossibility. That couldn't happen. But if that was to happen and someone would say, you're awesome, I don't like her, I'd be like, we're not friends. Get lost. This is Jesus' love for his bride is significant and deep. And that is the beginning of this answer. You cannot claim to love Jesus when you reject the very ones that Jesus loves the very most? Number two, the answer to the question is no, because no one in this life can go it alone. This life is hard. There are difficulties and challenges that will meet us at every corner. And maybe a person could deceive themselves into thinking that they don't need the body of Christ during a time where things seem to be going very well, but there will come a time when they do need the body of Christ. And in fact, they need the body of Christ at all times. It's just a matter of perception, and again, becoming more and more aware of what it is that we truly need. So in Hebrews chapter 10, which I believe that I read last week, I'll read it again, and you can join me there. Hebrews chapter 10, this is, now when you think of church, there is a sense in which we go to church, and there is a sense in which we are the church. So the church is the body of Christ, that we are. In terms of where we go, the church also means a gathering. And so you do have to travel to what that gathering is. There is something about going to a place where we can corporately meet. And in Hebrews chapter 10, he's speaking about that. And he's saying this needs to be a regular part of the Christian's life. And he explains why. And it's, again, it's the second reason. No one can go it alone. Listen to this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. He's simply explaining that, and all through this book, he's been explaining that there are deceptions. There are, he talked about Israel in the wilderness and the temptation to go astray, the temptation to faithlessness. And he's saying this is a reality, and now as he's getting toward a conclusion in the book, he's saying you need to be together. Be together as often as possible, and all the more as the day is drawing near. So no one can go it alone. And it, you know, people just realize this at various phases in their life, but the longer that I'm a Christian, the more that I know I could not do it on my own. I remember during just those early days during COVID. Now, our church, we didn't meet in person for 6 weeks. And during that 6 weeks, I hated it. I went up every week to do this little recording, and just 6 weeks, that's not that long, a month and a half. I hated it. I felt dull. I felt lacking in spiritual energy. I felt lacking in encouragement. The longer that I'm a Christian, the more that I know I need other Christians. I truly cannot do it on my own. I'm reliant. And there's no one in all of the Bible who wasn't reliant on other faithful people. It's just the way that God made us. It is not good for man to be alone, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, which I think goes beyond just the marital component. I think that it's even just speaking to the social nature that God has made us to be. So no one can go it alone. We need each other. Number three, the answer to the question is no, because no one can claim to love God while hating his brother. So whether you like it or not, when you come into Jesus Christ, you become a part of the family of God, where everyone that is in Jesus Christ is either a mother or a father or a brother or sister. We become a family. And it is impossible to claim to love God while hating the very ones that are in your midst. So 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 John 4:20. It reads, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So you get people that will say, I love God, I'm not that big a fan of other Christians. And this is, I'm going to address this at point number six, but it really is it's grand arrogance to have that perspective where one would elevate oneself above others. The fact is, our love for God is shown objectively in the way that we love his people here on this earth. There is no love for God if all we do is say, I love God. In that sense, then, if we say, I love God, and it isn't measured by our relationships with God's people, then it really is equivalent to the way that I would say, I love a good cheeseburger. I love the idea of it. I love what it does for me. I really enjoy it. That's my thing. But true love is sacrificial and gives up of oneself, and that's a huge part. I mean, that is really the central part of being a follower of God. Number four, the answer to this question is no, because no one can serve Jesus without serving Jesus' disciples. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, if you want to turn there, Jesus, this is a very well-known verse, but there is an element of it that I think is sometimes overlooked. Matthew chapter 25, in verse, let's just start up in verse 34. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. Now notice, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus speaking in the first person is saying, I was hungry, and you gave me something to drink. And he's talking to those at the end of the age. And they're going to say, when did we ever do this? And because for most of us, we would say, I've never seen Jesus, right? Well, watch what he says. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Now, for my whole life, when I was reading that, I read it as though there should be a comma right after the least of these. Whatever you did to the least of these, whoever they happen to be, and then he's saying, my brothers, he's talking to, you did it to me. But in Greek, that is not the way that this is phrased. What Jesus is saying is, whatever you did to the least of these brothers, in other words, he's talking about the way that we related to other Christians. The ones like in the book of James, where there was a rich Christian and there was a poor Christian. And they were both brothers. But which one got the extra attention? The rich one did. And James called them out for that. Jesus is saying, whatever you did to the least of these brothers of mine, you did that to me. He's actually talking about the way that we relate to other Christians. That's what Jesus is speaking to. And he's saying, whatever you did to the brothers that may be forgotten, the ones that are overlooked, the ones that are not seen, anytime you did that, I was there, and you were actually serving me. Now, how then could a person who has refused and rejected the Lord's church, how could a person who has been completely separate from the Lord's church ever fulfill this command of actively, actually serving Jesus? They couldn't. That is a person who would live their lives and lead their lives only for their own selves. The church is not a place to come and simply be served, but it is primarily a place to serve. And when that is done, when everyone has that mentality, then everyone is well served. When everyone comes to serve, then everyone is well served. Number five, No, you cannot be a believer and not go to church. Number five, because no one can be saved when cut off from the vine. John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking about how he is the true vine. And in other words, he is the source of life, and you must be grafted into him. But what's interesting is when you're grafted into him, you are bearing much fruit. And Jesus said, it can't be any other way than this. If you are truly rooted in me, then you will, you must, you can't do anything but bear fruit. Now, I want you to see how Jesus applies the bearing of the fruit. So John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Now up to this point, the person who claims to love Jesus while not liking his church, they would say, well, sure, I'm grafted into Jesus. That's my point. I'm going to graft into him. I don't need the church. But watch what Jesus goes on to say. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Again, what is this fruit? As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Jesus is setting an example. Now imagine Jesus coming to the world and saying, Father, I love you so much. I don't love the people here on this earth. What do you think that the Father would say? Would that be a legitimate and true love? Now, Jesus is saying, as the Father has loved me, I have then taken that love and I have loved you. Jesus himself is doing precisely what it means to be grafted into God. But watch as he goes on. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Now, this is my commandment. If you keep my commandments, you'll bear fruit. You must bear fruit if you're grafted into the vine, but what is the commandment in particular that will lead to the fruit you speak of? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Do you see what Jesus says? This is my commandment. If you're grafted into the vine, if you are rooted in Jesus Christ, then you, in receiving the love of God from God, a divine, miraculous source of love, will then take that and can do nothing but for that to flow out and extend to those beyond yourself, in particular to those others who love and obey God. Jesus is speaking of the way that we relate to one another. Jesus is saying it must be this way. So you cannot be grafted into the vine and do anything but love God's church. And then, lastly, number six, you cannot be a believer and have nothing to do with God's church because pride is the cardinal sin that damned the world. It is the chief sin that plunged this world into darkness. And it is grand pride for a person to say, I love Jesus, I just don't love his church because it's full of hypocrites. There is no person on the earth who isn't in some measure a hypocrite. There is no person on the earth who is not in need of Jesus. The reason why we have the church, I mean, our gospel, our faith is predicated on our need for forgiveness. It is built on the fact of our rebellion. It is built on the reality of our depravity. We have the church and Jesus Christ and his cleansing blood because none of us are perfect. And so imagine a person saying, Jesus, I love you and I'm going to follow you, but I want nothing to do with your people. That's for a person who has not looked into the mirror. Anybody who's looked into the mirror will know that they themselves are a part of the problem. They themselves need Jesus as much as anyone else. And the longer that you are a Christian and the more that you understand this, the more you are opened up to realizing, even when you are personally offended by others, even when you are hurt by others, you can see a little bit of yourself in them at some point in your walk. Say, I remember doing that. I remember behaving in that way. And then you can even love them through it. You can even forgive them through it. You can, even in personal offense, go to God on their behalf and pray. Father, raise them up. Father, strengthen them. Father, mature them. Open their eyes where they are blind. Help them to come to know you. But there's no place for pride in the Lord's church. We are all in need of Jesus. So the answer to the question is no. To be a true believer, you must humbly come to the Lord Jesus, bind yourself to his people, and commit yourself to serving. And this is a lifelong process. We get better as we go. We certainly need God's help in it. If you wish to give your life to Jesus, if you wish to be a part of his church, this is a great place to be. We love this church. Oldham Lane is a special place, full of so many good, mature, and just truly servant-oriented people. And we would love, if you are not a part of this body, we would love for you to join us. The way you do that is by confessing Jesus Christ, by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and committing to walking faithfully. If you have any need at all, you can come forward while we stand and while we sing.